Today, we are talking Knock.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Talkin' Knock. I am your wonderful host, Tristan, and I am joined straight from the cornfields by Peyton today. How you doing, Peyton?
Always with the corn stuff.
And we also have a special guest today, my friend Will, who actually ran Peyton and my first DCC game together. So how are you doing today, Will?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Good, good. You know, I figured we'd start with a little bit of your background in RPGs and how long you've been playing for.
So I've been playing since slightly after the world cooled. No, I got started in the mid-80s. Didn't get started with D&D because of Satan.
This is true.
So I had to start with Traveler. And since that time, I've tried pretty much everything.
How does it make you feel that you've been playing RPGs longer than either of us have been alive?
It's a weird, kind of sad feeling.
I bet. So you're going to be running some of the DCC demos for Goodman Games, right?
Yeah. So one of the things that Goodman Games does is they have these short 2 to 3 hour demos that you can sign up for. And they're mostly for people that have never played DCC before. I have had people come through there that have played. They just want to try out a different character class, or they want to ask questions about, you know, how certain parts of it work on the judging side. But those are the week of, I want to say it's the 18th.
Cool. Yeah, I think that makes sense, because I think we had to push back Riders of the Phlogiston because of that week.
Oh, right.
Yes.
So the 14th through the 18th, I think, is when the demos are.
Perfect. Yeah, so definitely sign up for those if you want. I will put a link to how you can sign up in the description of the podcast. Before we get too far into what we are going to be talking about today, just a few housekeeping things. Like I said last time, we have social media, so check us out. The link to all of those is a link in the description of this podcast. So our first article that we're going to talk today is What Kids RPGs Are Missing by Ben Milton. And Ben Milton's a pretty well-known character. He has a YouTube channel called Questing Beast. He's created a few adventures and like one-page dungeons, and actually two systems, Maze Rats and Knave, which Knave I've heard very, very good things about. I haven't actually heard of Maze Rats personally. How about you guys?
I haven't heard of either of them personally.
I have played a test run of Maze Rats, but not Knave. My understanding is Knave.
Oh, what'd you think of it?
It was all right. I mean, it's a very simple system, you know, so it doesn't have a lot of the depth that some of the other games do. But I think you could take it and build something pretty substantial out of it if you really wanted to.
Yeah, that's kind of some of the comments that I saw were all about using Maze Rats. It's a bunch of random tables, right? So I've seen a lot of people talking about using those random tables for other things and how it's kind of like a small gold mine of resources.
Right. That's a good way to describe it.
And then Knave, I've heard quite a bit about, especially in Exalted Funeral, but did you say you have played that or not?
Not Knave, no.
Gotcha. And our art today is by Luca Reyes. I did pronounce it right this time, I hope. And he has obviously created Ultraviolet Grasslands, which Will is a giant fan of.
Oh, yes. He's also done Witchburner, but Ultraviolet Grasslands is just gorgeous. I mean, it's a coffee table book that you could really kind of set out and let non-gamer people look at, because it's about half art, half rules.
Oh, for sure. It's kind of how Knock is, same way.
Yeah.
And I know that Will has been trying to get us to play in a DCC knockup of UVG, so that sounds like something to be a blast. So what were your guys' first impressions of What Kids RPGs Are Missing?
I agree with most of his premise, which is that, you know, you just let kids be kids. It's in the title, What Kids Are Missing, or What Kids RPGs Are Missing. He goes into depth about how you're not really supposed to go the usual kids route of like creating like a finely tuned thing that isn't all, there aren't a lot of room for errors, that you usually try and shove a bunch of like, you know, good morals of the story into. And he instead argues to kind of like his, you know, Maze Runner, what was it? Mouse Runner game? To just make a game with a bunch of tables and let kids' imagination run wild. And like I said at the start, I pretty much agree with that premise to a T.
Yeah, it's a good one. How about you, Will? What do you think?
So I'm gonna speak from a little bit of experience here, because I've run DCC and No Thank You Evil, which is one of the games that he mentions in the article. I've run both of those for kids.
Oh, perfect.
And I would not have thought this until I actually ran No Thank You Evil, but he makes the point in there that it looks like it was a game that was made for people that don't have kids. And I kind of have to agree with that, because if you sit a 10-year-old down and say, okay, your character is a, you know, is a tough boy who likes, you know, gooey pizza, he would much rather be beating goblins over the head with a stick, because kids, when they're 8 to 10 to 12 years old, are goddamn little murder hobos.
They're bloodthirsty killers.
They really are, and it's such a release for them. And I think it kind of comes back to, you know, they're told in school to sit quiet and behave and don't step out of line and color within the lines. And so to get an RPG experience where they can actually cut loose and just go gonzo, I've seen it happen over and over again, where they just go gonzo. So I ended up getting rid of my copy of No Thank You Evil. I love the company that makes it. I have a lot of good things to say about them, but I agree with the premise of the article, which is kids like to beat things over the head with sticks.
For sure. And I personally have not run any games for kids, but I have run games for a bunch of high college students. So I'm assuming it's probably a similar vibe.
Pretty similar.
Why do I feel personally attacked here?
In this case, I'm not talking about you, even though I do still technically run games for high college students. But that is neither here nor there. I liked how he kind of started out with that little simple game example with the fifth grader and just showed how absolutely all over the place it was, and then kind of rolled that into his analyzation of what's going on, and basically talking about how kids are going to love the fully random gonzo stuff, like you said, Will. They're going to want to kill anything they come across. They're going to kick a hole through a door and then stick their head through the door kind of thing. Like, I just thought this was like a really cute article that brought a lot of things that not necessarily many game design companies think about. And it's great for like children's stories to kind of have a moral, but let their imagination go absolutely nuts for it.
And I don't know if you've ever had a chance to play a game with Judge Evie, Judge James's daughter.
Judge James is Judge James from the Glowburn podcast. I went over to his house for a little convention thing that he set up for a bunch of his friends that are in this Discord server that we're all in. But Judge Evie was there for that.
Yeah, I've played in a couple things that she's run, and she's, you know, she's the on the other side of the GM screen, that same kind of young kid, not so young anymore, but when I played with her, young kid, just going crazy, just letting the imagination go. Nothing safe and fuzzy and warm about that. She was not pulling punches either. So.
That's awesome. That sounds like a blast.
Now, what I'd really like to do is play more with kids and give them the chance to run the games, you know, and maybe that means helping teach kids, or, you know, at least just giving them the confidence to sit behind the screen and run something. But I love that idea. If I could do more of that, I would.
Peyton, you started playing RPGs with like your uncle when you were really young, right?
It wasn't with my uncle, but he kind of taught us the ropes because it was his like first D&D set or whatever way back in the day. But yeah, just like a bunch of us 14-year-olds running around doing whatever we could, or like our minds thought of.
Yeah, that's, I feel like that's exactly how it should be sometimes.
Like the article says, like there are so many video, like we were all video gamers at the time, right? And so many games were always so finely tuned, and it's like you have to do this, you have to do that, blah blah blah, and then we get our hands on this, you know, first edition D&D, and it's, you know, just let your imagination go wild. It was just such a culture shock, and it was so good and amazing.
I bet, yeah, because I started out with my dad's, because when he was in the military, he had like a bunch of AD&D stuff, which is kind of strange because he came from a very, very religious household, but they really didn't seem to care about it at all. But yeah, he actually showed it to me when I was younger, and so that was like a really good creative outlet for me, even though I had really no one who was interested in playing because it was AD&D for a bunch of 12 to 14-year-olds, so that didn't go over too well. But our second article today is kind of an article and one of those random tables that we've kind of been going through in NOC, and it's Wandering Monsters Should Have a Purpose in Wandering Around by Bryce Lynch. So Bryce Lynch is 10footpole.org, which I'm sure most of our listeners have at least found while Googling something RPG related. He reviews RPGs that he's bought, so you don't have to. That's like the whole premise of his website. And our art is by Michael Shepard again, who's one of the podcast favorites. And I liked the crediting for this one for Graffiti by Olivier Revenue. So basically he wrote the random writing that's scrawled all over the page that are the random tables. So I thought that was a nice little crediting of him. So what were your guys' first thoughts on this, Peyton? I'll let you go first.
Well, I guess just from like the get-go, my thought was, you know, the premise is talking about like giving your monsters a reason to be there. The title is Wandering Monsters Should Have a Purpose in Wandering Around. There's a bunch of different, you know, bigger and smaller font. Stuff's bold, stuff's not. And before I even like read the article, it's like this is already giving me this vibe of just wandering around the article. you know.
Yeah, I definitely felt like someone was screaming at me the whole time I was reading this one.
Yeah, and I guess just getting into the article, like I said before, his premise was mostly just about giving your monsters a reason to be there, right? You know, like you can have this all amazing backstory and whatnot to your module or your adventure and whatnot, but when you actually get in the game and you see none of that, and it's just like, oh hey, here is a creature standing here next to a tree, it kind of takes you out of the whole epic mindset of this grand adventure.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that it also leads into being able to do some cool stuff in the opposite direction. So if you're so used to these monsters having a reason to be there, when you get the monsters that are just like standing there stock still, like being weird, it actually registers as weird instead of just, okay, here's some more NPCs to kill. Will, what did you think of it?
Yeah, so like one of the things that you'd see in some of the early mega dungeons is you'd go into a room and you'd fight, you know, 25 kobolds, and then you'd open the door, go into the next room, and there's 30 goblins, and then you'd go into the next room, and there's a frost giant. And it never made sense, the ecology of the dungeons. It was just silly. And I think that this article is kind of speaking directly to that. There has to be a reason for the things to be where they are, and they really should be doing something other than standing there waiting for the adventurers to come in.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if you started really digging into the Hot Springs Island stuff.
I was just going to bring that up, because that is what the entire book is.
Yeah, there's such a great example of the right way to do that, where every encounter has a random table of what they're doing. They could be sleeping, they could be eating, they could be making more baby kobolds, whatever. But they're doing something other than just standing there.
Yeah, for sure. And Peyton, I'm not going to go too far into this because you're about to run through this even if you don't know it yet, but Hot Springs Island is this wonderful publication where basically it gives you a setting almost of this island, and each dungeon, each hex that you go into, everything that you explore is basically rolling a bunch of random tables, and they give you the background to the factions that are going on, and you make up what's happening each time your group visits that dungeon, because it's supposed to feel like a very fluid world. Which I think it absolutely nails. I'm like 3/4 of the way through it now and about to start converting everything onto Fantasy Grounds, but it's, oh my god, it's a blast. I will link that in the description of the pod because it is well worth checking out for anybody and well worth the money, honestly. And instead of listener questions today, we are going to do almost another article. This is something, Peyton, you brought to me. It's called War for Ryuba. It's by Tom Parkinson Morgan. He is known for two things. He's writing a webcomic series, which you can also buy in print, and it looks absolutely beautiful in print, called Kill 6 Billion Demons. It's a long-running webcomic, and he's also known for making the RPG Lancer. Will, have you heard of that?
I've heard of Lancer. I haven't played it. I love Kill 6 Billion Demons. But I haven't read it in a while, so this War for Ryuba kind of caught me by surprise. I hadn't heard of that, even though I've been following the webcomic for quite a while.
Oh, that's perfect. I'm glad that you kind of looped back around into it.
Yeah.
So, Peyton, since you brought it to us, I'll let you kind of give the TLDR of what it is.
Well, the TLDR is, like you said, this comic series, whatever you want to call it, is called War for Ryuba, and it's set in the world of Ryuba, where you have, like, generic good guys and generic bad guys. And instead of it being, you know, just like a one-man webcomic or, like, turned into a tabletop game, what they're doing is that they are, basically, you can write a comic strip yourself, and you could submit it, and if it was good enough, like, congratulations, that comic is now canon in the universe. And when, you know, good and bad fought each other, they put these OCs up, you know, one versus one, and each of them had to draw a comic strip based on, like, you know, how they would kill the enemy, or not necessarily kill, but just defeat the enemy. And then a panel of judges would decide which is better, whichever one, you know, was better and won. Anything that happened in there, no matter how wacky it was now canon and happened inside the webcomic.
Yeah, and it's really beautiful. They have this interactive map, which is like, honestly, I work in mapping and it's better than some maps that I've seen professionals have created. But basically, it's a map of this world laid out like a chessboard. So it's got like A through N and then 1 through 14 on the different axes. And each of those cells are different lands that can be taken over. And if you click on them, it like gives you a little blurb of lore about it. And basically, these artists were divided up into two teams. And like Peyton said, they were paired up against other people. And basically the idea is that they're trying to conquer the whole world through these different artistic comics. And I thought it was absolutely wonderful. What'd you guys think?
I love it. This idea is so brilliant. Whether or not you win or lose the match is not wholly dictated by the quality of the drawing. Sometimes it's the storyline, sometimes it's, you know, whatever the outcome is. But it's a lot like the second article where you're randomly rolling for things, except in this case, your random table is basically this list of artists. So you're bringing all of these different perspectives and sensibilities to the sort of body of knowledge in the same way that you would get if you were just rolling dice for it. I think it's wonderful.
And Peyton, you thought it was a little bit similar to the first article, didn't you?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting, like you said, Will, that you found it similar to the second, which is what, you know, I can agree now that I hear it. But when I was first reading about it, I was thinking about the first article of what kids' RPGs are missing, because I guess it kind of shows that you don't necessarily have to be a kid to, you know, just let loose and let your imagination run wild. And sometimes that's just good for everyone.
Totally agree.
Agreed. And some of the original characters that were created for this are absolutely wacky, and it's just great. I will link both the video that clued us into this in the description, as well as a link to the war map, because you can go back in time and see who's winning what and how it's all going. You can, like, view the fighting roster and all this stuff. So it's just a blast, and it's fun to just kind of fool around with for 20 minutes or so as you learn everything that's going on. And then if you really are interested, dig deeper into it. But Will, thank you for joining us today. This was great.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, of course. And remember, people, if you want to play in a game with Will, I can personally attest that he has blown me away in every single game that we played. We just finished our Red Markets game, which was a zombie apocalypse, which I absolutely never thought I would enjoy.
Yeah, I it went much better than I expected it to go. So
yeah, you kind of just like pulled it off your shelf and you're like, well, I'm going to get rid of this, so I might as well give it a shot. And then we all loved it.
Yeah.
But we, unless Peyton, do you have anything else you'd like to say?
Nothing important, but, you know, if you want to play a DCC game, go join one of Will's games, because if it wasn't for me doing that last year at CyclopsCon, I wouldn't be here today talking about DCC.
Talking about DCC way too much, as we do. But, alright everybody, well, I hope you have a good week, and we will see you next week.
Bye!
Yep, see you.